Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Now, it seems like I was just up here preaching about the Holy Spirit, because I was just up here preaching about the Holy Spirit 2 weeks ago. Remember, I warned you that this was going to happen. But perhaps talking about the Holy Spirit twice in 2 weeks is a good thing. It means maybe we're moving away from having the Holy Spirit be the red-headed stepchild of the Holy Trinity, one we don't talk about nearly as much, partially because it makes us nervous. And because it makes us nervous, I think that's why the Holy Spirit has been relegated to the red-headed stepchild status in the first place. When we catch up with the disciples at the end of the book of Luke, Jesus has been crucified, resurrected, and has appeared to the disciples, both on the road to Emmaus and in Jerusalem. Now, Acts continues this story because Luke and Acts were written by the same author. Jesus is preparing to leave them and ascend into heaven, and they know it. This is what triggers their question at the beginning of Acts chapter 1. "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel?" Jesus answered them, but doesn't really answer them, depending on your take on his reply. Jesus says, "It is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." It is this response that sets up the entire book of Acts. You will receive the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Here we start learning what the Holy Spirit is all about. The Holy Spirit will empower the disciples. And the Holy Spirit will empower the disciples for a very specific task: to be Jesus' witnesses in Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, we know the end of the story so far, and so this might not be a big deal to us. After all, here we are in the modern Christian church celebrating Pentecost, some 2,000 years later, and we are witnesses ourselves. But the disciples didn't really know what this meant, or what was going to come next. All they had was Jesus' words. They couldn't quite grasp the enormity of what they were being told to do, and how this prediction by Jesus would shape the world and the world to come. They didn't know that this would shake the foundations of what they thought they knew and what they thought they could actually do. So the day of Pentecost comes. Pentecost is a Jewish holiday, also known as the Shavuot, the Festival of Weeks, or the Festival of Reaping. On this day, they celebrate several different things: the giving of the Torah, or the law, to the Israelites on Mount Sinai after they had been freed from slavery in Egypt. This day is also connected with the conclusion of a grain harvest, hence being known as the Festival of Reaping. In other words, there was a lot to celebrate and commemorate on this day, and this is why we have Jews from all over the world in Jerusalem at this time. They were there celebrating these holidays. The disciples were also there. Jesus had commanded them to hang out in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. And on this day, on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes upon them quite suddenly. We are told, "And suddenly from the heaven there came the sound like a rushing violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit." When they are filled with the Holy Spirit, they started speaking in tongues, which in this case meant that they were speaking in different languages, kind of like we heard during the reading. So the Jews who were there could understand what was being said. Peter leads the charge by standing up and preaching and quoting the book of Joel, the prophet Joel. In the book of Joel, he basically writes, "God will pour out God's Spirit on all peoples, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Peter's quoting of Joel echoes Jesus' original statement that the disciples would be Jesus' witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After all, God's Spirit will be poured out on all people. But the interesting part is how we get there. From point A, which is God pouring out God's Spirit and the disciples witnessing in Jerusalem, to point B, God pouring out God's Spirit on all people and the disciples witnessing to the ends of the earth. To understand that, I like to look at the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit was described when it first landed on the disciples. The Holy Spirit is described to us as like tongues of fire. Now, most of you have heard me mention before that my undergraduate degree had not a whole lot to do with my graduate degree. They're called Masters of Divinity, and this is what you study if you want to become a pastor. My BA, or Bachelor of Arts, is actually in biology, and also my accidental major in classics on top of that. Now, I think I've mentioned before that with biology, I focused on plant science and ecology. And one of my favorite things to study in ecology was a specific branch known as fire ecology. It sounds like fun, doesn't it? Fire ecology. You see, I had been to Yellowstone National Park as a teenager. I'm guessing a few of you have probably been to Yellowstone as well. It's one of the great national parks. And what I had seen there was the remnants of the devastating fire at Yellowstone in 1988. What was most interesting to me was that people in the past had thought that forest fires were bad. These were bad things. You don't want a fire going through a national park. So they had worked on suppressing them, on preventing them, on putting them out for years and years and years. However, that suppression led to the massive destruction of the fire in 1988. And it was also discovered that, hey, forest fires aren't actually bad for the environment. In fact, fires were natural and they were good for the ecosystem. Fires could help clear the forest of debris, and that keeps new plants from growing and being established. And fires also return nutrients, much needed nutrients, to the soil that helps them grow and be healthy. And certain plants, shrubs, and trees, like the lodgepole pine, often depend on fire in order for their seeds to be released. Now, I think the description of the Holy Spirit as fire is no mistake. The Holy Spirit is like a fire. And like fire, the Holy Spirit can be dangerous and scary and unpredictable. If we study the book of Acts as a whole, we realize how scary and threatening the Holy Spirit actually is. I don't think the disciples had any idea what they were getting into when the Holy Spirit came upon them in Pentecost. They didn't know what it would mean or where it would lead. Because if they probably did, they probably would have been scared and tried to put the brakes on. The Holy Spirit would bring them to new people and new places and new situations. Sure, it started in Jerusalem and then brought them to Judea. These are places they were comfortable with, places they had grown up with, and new people in these places. These were places they knew. However, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. And Samaria is when it starts getting dicey. Jews and Samaritans did not like each other. This came up in the Bible multiple times. Did not like each other, did not get along. Yet there it is, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. And then the Holy Spirit starts leading them to the ends of the earth, new and foreign places. And the Holy Spirit not only leads them there, the Holy Spirit starts redefining who can be made holy through Jesus' death, resurrection, and the forgiveness that we receive through it. After all, this is why we call it the Holy Spirit, because it makes people holy. And the Holy Spirit means anyone and everyone can be made holy. Even the people the disciples didn't like. Even the people that had been their adversaries. The Holy Spirit brings them to new people and new places. People they wouldn't have been caught dead with before. The Holy Spirit makes one of their greatest enemies and persecutors, Saul or Paul, one of them. Oh, imagine that first meeting. The Holy Spirit challenges their views on religion and who was in and who was out. The Holy Spirit leads them to all kinds of people, especially outsiders, like Gentiles, the word for non-Jews, Ethiopians, eunuchs, Greeks, and Romans. The Holy Spirit also leads them into shipwrecks and jail, danger, and even death. The Holy Spirit is dangerous. This is the same Holy Spirit that we worship and celebrate today as a part of the Holy Trinity. This is the same Holy Spirit at work in the world and in our lives to make us witnesses to all people, to the ends of the earth. Yes, Jesus' command and proclamation and prediction and act still holds true for us today. So, as the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, which I know it is, don't be surprised when your ideas of who's in, who's out, who's holy, and who's not are challenged. Because the Holy Spirit might just be putting those ideas to death through its fire. But the Holy Spirit also promises to bring new life as well. New life, new ideas, new companions for this crazy journey and job of being Jesus' witnesses to the ends of the earth. And our job and the Spirit's job is not yet finished. Thanks be to God. Amen.